to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcasts. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, zips, sips. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Binary Revolution Radio. Woot! Episode 87, coming to you on March 15th, 2005. With you once again this week, I am Stank Dog, and I am joined by one of our favorite co-hosts. I think you're probably the most frequent co-host of the show. Don't hold me to that. I don't know offhand, but Voodoo Hal is back on the show with us again this week.
The new and improved.
The new and improved. I didn't know it could get even better. Wow, I'm excited now. And we are going to have to buzz through a lot of email quickly. We have been out of town, and when I say we, I do mean both of us. We spent the past weekend in Hotlanta, Atlanta, Georgia, at the Interzone 4 conference. So we are going to talk about that in a little bit, but we're going to have to buzz through some emails. We got quite a few emails from listeners, some good feedback from last week's show, from some people we met at Interzone, all kinds of good feedback. So we're going to jump into that. There's one little bit of housekeeping, unless you had something. Okay. I have one thing to let everybody know that there is some sort of bug with the email validation in the forums. And it's not really the email validation that's the problem. It's there's some server settings that are a little bit confuzzled. And I'm working on it. Should have those ironed out in a couple days, I think, but it's one of those intermittent problems. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, so it's tough to debug those. Unless, you know, you're Voodoo Hal, then, of course, it can be done easily. So bear with me while I iron that out. And with that, then, let's play some email theme music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, bin rev. Okay, whatever. Okay, our first... I should leave that in instead of playing the... I'm going to screw it. I don't care. All right, that was my rendition of our email theme song, with much apologies to the original artist there. First of all, I had several people email reminded me. I mentioned on the show recently how much I missed the artist that was on PBS that always used to draw the happy little trees and the happy clouds smiling down, and I had forgotten his name, and it was Bob Ross, and of course I knew as soon as I got the first email. Several people emailed me with that, and I thank you all for that. I miss Bob Ross. Bob Ross was awesome. I want some Bob Ross art to hang in my house. He was elite. So, you know who I'm talking about. You remember Bob Ross, right?
Yeah, he's got the fro, right?
The fro. Now that, dude, that was pimped. That dude was styling with that fro. He could wear a fro. He could wear a fro. That dude was elite. Anyway, let's get into some specific emails here, and no particular order. First email this week comes from Phone Tap, who says, "Dear Stank Dog and Guest." That would be you. So it's not guest, though. We're co-hosts. I don't have guests. People always say guest. Okay, anyway. "First off, I would like to thank you for what you guys do each week, and also very nice work on your articles in 2600. I and many others have gained much knowledge from you, so thank you. My question is this. I enjoy war driving, but my laptop is getting worn out and old, and I am thinking about getting something new soon. I thought you guys could give me some suggestions on if I should get a laptop or a PDA and possibly some some ideas on what kind. Since I hear your guests sometimes talking about PDAs, and I know that you war drive, I don't have a crap load of money to drop on this, so if you would please help me out with a few ideas, it would be greatly appreciated. Actually, it's very appropriate that we have you on the show, because I know you have been pretty much going through a rotation of PDAs lately, swapping some around and stuff. Phone PDAs, regular PDAs. What do you got right now?
It's been said quite a few times that I swap machines more than I swap or change underwear. So, what do I have right now? I have a Dell Axum X30. It's a 624 megahertz Xscale processor. I think it's 64 megs of onboard memory. Bluetooth 802.11b. So as far as PDAs go, it's a nice PDA. Recently, I've also had a Treo 600. If you want an integrated device and you do want to use it as a phone as well, the 600 is nice. The Axums have a bit more functionality for me, at least. You know, the whole Bluetooth thing is kind of fun, as we tried on the train. but I guess to his question about laptop or PDA, I would say go with a laptop. You're going to have a lot more functionality. You're also going to have the ability to use a lot more different equipment. You know, you're going to be kind of confined to, especially if you get a PDA, you're going to be confined to SD cards, compact flash cards. With a laptop, you can pretty much get damn near any device in a PCMCIA card. You also are going to get, you know, external connectors for antennas on those cards. And I know some PDAs do have full Type-2 PCMCIA slots. But you're also going to be stuck to which operating systems will run on that. So I say go with a laptop if it's going to be your one and only device for war driving.
Yeah, and that's really, of course, going to be your call. The PDAs are very cool. I want one myself. And I was faced with this kind of same decision, and I decided to go with the laptop. And if I can give you a specific recommendation, I got a Dell refurbished laptop. I went to outlet.dell.com, I think it is, and got a refurbished one. Now, you got to be careful with them. They're hit and miss sometimes. But with Dell, I've had good luck. Other companies, I haven't. But with Dell, I have. And Dell will warranty it for, I think it's 90 days by default. But you can upgrade that warranty to 1, 2, 3 years. So you can upgrade it, I think, to a year for, of course, it depends on what specials and stuff they're running. But I think only for like $15 to $20 range, you can upgrade it to a one-year warranty.
I'll also suggest one of my favorite sites to buy used hardware from as far as laptops go. It's a company called RetroBox.com. This company basically buys in bulk hardware that companies are decommissioning if they're going to be up, like if a company is going to be buying all new laptops for their employees. And you can find some pretty killer deals. A friend of mine found in a Sun Enterprise E450 quad prop box for like $300. That gives you any idea. So, I mean, you can find some really good prices there.
A quad?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, man! How come you never told me about that site?
I have.
You're holding out on me.
But I've personally ordered probably 5 or 6 things from them. I've got family members who've ordered quite a few things, so I mean they're completely legit. And I mean it's great. They actually had some Dell Axum. I think they were X30Is, the older versions, they're like the 400 megahertz versions, for like $150. And they had 802.11b and Bluetooth as well, so.
Very nice, very nice. All right, so there you go with that. You can also hit eBay, but that's hit and miss. You don't know who to trust, and that whole thing that, you know, never know exactly where to go with that. But it sounds like you have some options there. And also you factor in, is that the only thing you're going to be doing with it? If you're going to be doing, you know, if you actually plan on doing some other things with a laptop, you might want to go with a Dell, something newer. I think mine, I don't know the exact specs offhand now, but it's something like a P4 2.4, 512 RAM, DVD-ROM drive, yada, yada, yada. And I upgraded the warranty to a year, and I think it was somewhere around 700 shipped and everything. So something in that range, $600 to $700. And that's because I wanted a backup. I needed something to replace my original laptop, so... if you want something that's going to be able to be more versatile, go with that. If you want something compact that you can stick in your pocket and carry with you, go with the PDA. And then if you just want the cheapest laptop that you can get war driving and nothing else, then what about maybe even Homeless Hardware? You might get lucky and find something on Homeless Hardware.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I slipped that in there.
Thanks for the temp there.
Yep. Okay, so that's, and if anybody else has any other good sites like that for techbargains.com, that's usually where I go to find coupon codes and stuff for Dell. That's pretty much the only site I ever bother to go to find different sales and coupon codes, and sometimes they are annoying, but if you know what you're looking for, a laptop, and you know you want to look for Dell, just go search for it, and they'll give you, like, the most recent deals that are going on. Okay, so our next email comes from Dropkick. Dropkick, my speech impediment, apparently. Dropkick says, Stank, anyone would email a guy named Stankdog for help in choosing a handle is beyond me. And he's got some little pseudocode here taking a jab at my name. That being said, thanks for doing the show, magazine, and all the other great stuff you put out there for the community. Dropkick. Yeah, I don't know why anybody would ask me for advice on a handle either. I think that's a pretty good point. The good thing about having such a bizarre, disgusting, weird handle is that nobody wants to steal it. Nobody wants to be Stank Dog. Hell, some days I don't want to be Stank Dog, but that's a whole different story. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. He has, and it's pretty valid. Of course, the WWF called. They want their nickname back, their Dropkick. So, hey, give and take. You know, it's all good. It's all good. Next email comes from Bitbiter. Bitbiter says, what's up, Stank and co-host? I just have to say your show is the bomb. I like hearing Doug and Lucky on episode 83 and 84. I sure do miss them from the default days. And, of course, he's referring to Default Radio. For those of you who don't know it, the site is still up, defaultradio.com. You can still download the old episodes. I would know because I'm hosting it. And, yeah, everybody misses Default. Default was a fun show. But for obvious reasons, it had to go away temporarily. I don't know if it's permanently or not, but, well, anyway. I'm sorry, back to the email there. I got pulled off. I have just one question, and it's one of those, whose music is it? What is the outro song on episode 83? By the way, anyone wanting a 1 gigabyte mail account should try Walla.com. That's Walla.com. They offer the 1 gigabyte storage without the invite crap. It's a real clean site with the only ad being one banner across the top. Also, it's not beta. Keep up the good work later. Okay, yeah, with Default Radio I mentioned. I want to thank Doug. He did such a great job taking over for me for a couple of weeks, hosting the show. Him and Lucky 2 weeks in a row was really good stuff. And it was very reminiscent of Default because they talked about a lot of phone stuff on those episodes, as well as a lot of technical stuff, a lot of privacy stuff. Those were very good episodes, and hopefully Default will stick around in some shape or form, maybe only once every few months a show. Maybe it'll start back up regularly. Just all depends on how real life works out. We might address the real life situations with some of the former hosts of that show when the time is right. And the regular listeners know what I'm talking about. But unfortunately, the time is not right now. So, as far as the song that Doug used, I don't know, honestly. A couple people have asked that. Doug did the show for those 2 weeks. He did those two episodes while I took care of some real-life stuff. And then Doug had to go out of town and do some real-life stuff. So haven't really been able to talk to him too much. And then I was in Atlanta, of course, this weekend. And haven't really had time to get in touch with him. But as soon as I do, I will update the website, radio.benrev.com. And I always put on there the name of the artist and the site where you can get it from. So as soon as I get that from Doug, I will go back and update episode 83 to point to the correct place. Okay, the next email this week comes from, I guess this has got to be Toilet Johnny's. Jenny's?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's got to be Toilet Johnny's. I don't know what that symbol is. Who says, hey...
The wild card. It means it can be anything.
Yeah. Hey, Stank Dog, I'm sort of a new listener, like the show and all, but I'm wondering why Hack TV is in WMV, which is Windows Media Format. Windows Media Video, is that actually what it stands for? I don't know. Anyway, Windows Format, which is the crappiest video encoding ever. Agreed. Well, no, I'm sorry. Actually, I disagree with that. Real media is the crappiest video encoding ever.
No, trust me. I'll run some shit through AA Live, and it'll be all ASCII style. That's the crappiest encoding ever. All
right. Well, yeah. I guess there's lots of crappy encoding out there. WMV is just one of them. Where was I? I'd only watch something in WMV if it was a picture I'd like to look at for a half hour, and hearing only the audio. Watching movies and trying to understand them in WMV leaves me as confused as Paris Hilton trying to comprehend a textbook. Or her sidekick.
I'd like you to know that Paris Hilton has her doctorate. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Paris Hilton trying to comprehend her sidekick. That would be a good one. The only time I might want this effect is if I'm watching Prawn. Well, come on now. Prawn, you'll put up with whatever the format is. I mean, let's be honest. I'm not sure if it's the same with PCs, but that's what it's like for us Mac users. Take care, buddy. Again, that was Toilet Johnny's. I've gotten a couple people give me emails on this as well. Now, just to clarify, the official, for lack of a better word, the actual Hack TV releases, the episodes of Hack TV that are part of the continuity for whatever, come in WMV and AVI. We put the WMV out there for the dial-up users, basically. Makes it smaller size and more universal because, frankly, most people that are on dial-up are probably using Windows anyway, so we just try to make it easier for them. But we also offer the AVI, which the first one's DivX encoded. I'm looking at going to XVID on the next one. We shall see on that. So we do release it in both formats. However, we released Pwned in WMV format because that's what Droop sent me. Droop's filmed, that was Droop's camera that we filmed that with, and I asked him to send me the raw DV footage, but he sent me the WMV file, so that's what you got. So I took his WMV, edited them together, put it into the episode, and just re-encoded it into WMV. I guess technically I could have re-encoded it into AVI, but it wouldn't have done anything. I wouldn't have gained anything out of it other than a different encoder, which, yeah, I guess probably would have made you happy, but I figured, what the heck, we'll just release it in WMV because it's not an official. It was more like a fun thing, just a little prank, and it was surprisingly more successful than I thought, so I guess maybe I should have released it. Oh, well, whatever. Life goes on. What can I tell you, dude? That's what you get for using a Mac. Oh, hell. Come on, no, I know you got something to say about that.
I'm staying quiet. I've said it before.
You're not going to let me take a jab at a Mac user.
All I've got to say is look at your DNetC stats.
Yeah, well, we had this conversation at Interzone, and we can break for it and talk about that for a second. We actually had some talking about the Macs. I mean, I'm joking. I tease the Mac user because, well, everybody does. But the Macs, honestly, I am. Those thin little PowerBooks, oh, those wide screens, those are nice, man. That is a toasty little machine. I just wish I could afford one. So that's the jealousy. I'm just play-hating on the Mac users, that's all. And not only that, but those G5s, man. We actually sat, you and Acidus and I sat and had a good conversation, or I sat there and listened to a good conversation, I should say, that those things are incredible. Those are some really cool machines. So, yeah, joking aside, the Macs are pretty elite. Except those iMini Macs or whatever the hell those are all about.
Oh, those are cool, too, for the price.
They're not. They should have been, for that price, you should have gotten a little bit more. If I would have gotten a little bit more out of it for that price, I would have probably gone for it. But as it turns out, I probably would get an iMac or an eMac or whatever they call them now, JMac, FMac. I don't know. Okay, let's see, where was I? Okay, next email comes from, yikes, okay, I'm going to go with, this is Dr. Laser Demon, right? Is that right?
I'm going to say Dr. Lizard Man.
Oh, damn, Lizard Man. Can I buy a vowel? Can I buy a vowel, Chuck? Seriously, I'd like to buy an A. Well, that wouldn't really help me. Yeah,
Dr. Vowels don't exist in my language.
Yeah, Dr. Lizard Man, Laser Demon. Wow, that could be okay. Now he better email me back and confirm one way or the other, because that honestly, that could be either way, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I should explain.
Laser Demon, maybe?
I should explain to the listeners that this handle is capital D, lowercase r, so that doctor part is pretty clear, I guess. LZRDMN. Laser Demon, Lizard Man. It could be either one. You know what? I think it's Lizard Man. I'm going with Lizard. I'm changing my answer. I'm saying Lizard Man. I'm going with Lizard. It's got to be Lizard Man. Laser Demon? Wow, this is the hardest one. Yeah, this is the hardest one ever. He could, you know what? And this person, I assume it's a he, this person could be a jerk, and no matter which one I guess, intentionally say it was the other one and be just his. This is entrapment, and I refuse to play along. I am hereby calling him Dr. L. Dr. L says, that's the funniest, that's the coolest name I've seen in a while. Dr. L says, I did a search for hacking on Google like you recommended. The only AdWords thing that comes up is the Ethical Hacking Training Program. Sort of ironic. Yeah, ironic and hypocritical. They won't let me use that keyword, but they will let somebody else use it. They let eBay use it. eBay's got some script that whatever you search for, it plugs it into their ad. I've noticed that. Because I did a search for what was it? Not a phone number, but like a zip code or something I was looking up the other day. And the eBay AdWords thing on the side says, order your 61423 on eBay. I mean, it's obviously a dumb script that just plugs whatever your search is in. So they can use them, but I can't. That's real fair. Although, I probably shouldn't mention this because I'll get shut down, but I was able to get my account going again using some subversive methods. So hopefully, if anybody at Google's listening, don't shut me down again. I tricked it. I got out of your little loop. I got into your system and got it running again, so you should give me a little credit for that. Let me go. Anyway, I'm sure once I release that article, they won't be letting it go anymore. Okay, where was I? Okay, next email comes from Oobme. OOB. Okay, that's out of bounds. I remember out of bounds. Out of bounds. Oobme. Who says, what up your stankiness and voodoo how? It's got the host tag. I'm allowed to parse on the fly and replace that.
Fair enough.
Can I not do that? Thank you. I'm parsing that one. I just did a little regex, that's all. The other day I downloaded Microsoft's new anti-spyware beta. I installed it and ran it and left it for a while. When I came back, it proudly remarked spyware removed, but to my absolute horror, it had deleted 300 of my cough illegal Kazaa MP3s. Is this a conspiracy, or Microsoft deleted my pirated wares? Is the big M after illegal music, or is this just fluke? Can I get a period or something in here somewhere? Good Lord.
That's just a question mark.
Yeah, I don't think he's a native English speaker, so I'll give him a break. Well, whatever it is, it's the big M has done it again. You know what, though? Seriously, that's scary. If they're checking your MP3s and deleting them, is there... I thought I actually read and heard that there was an MP3 virus, like a little bit of code they were sticking on the MP3s that could somehow be dangerous when used in accordance with a certain... I don't think it was Winamp that was vulnerable to it. You know what I'm talking about?
Not a clue. I'm not a Windows user.
Yeah, I thought
that this weekend.
I don't know that it was necessarily a Windows thing. I think it was a few little bits that you could put on there, like to launch a browser site. Maybe some of the listeners, of course I wouldn't know this firsthand because I don't watch porn, but I've heard tell that, like, sometimes you'll download a WMV porn or something, and it launches the web browser to the site, advertising the site, because you can embed that in there, and the embedded tag or the embedded bits in there, when Windows Media Player reads them, it actually knows to execute it. It kind of like embedding a link, if you want to think of it like that. I thought it was related or similar to that, but I don't remember offhand. But just deleting MP3 files, how did it know that they were... I mean, there's a lot of questions to this. You didn't give me a whole lot to go with here. If anybody else has had it, somebody email me and confirm. If I get a couple people telling me this happened to all of them, let's see how widespread this is, and maybe we can figure out what's going on, because that is not cool, deleting stuff like an MP3. I don't see any reason for that. So, let's see. Next email comes from, this is a pretty long one, so, actually, this person, I'm going to withhold the name only because I think he doesn't mind if I use it. It came from a webmaster and a site. I'm going to just withhold it just in case. And this person says, just to clear something up, Paris Hilton's cell phone wasn't hacked by FX. Nicholas Jacobson was the hacker, and you can read the story on Security Focus. And he tiny URL'd for that for us at 7YJ44. The guy hacked a T-Mobile database, not a specific cell phone. Now, we kind of knew that. That's known. Using his access, he was able to get info on a bunch of people. This was discussed on Cal's PLA forums. He tiny URL'd that. That's 4MBVA. And someone posted her AIM buddy list. Well, they were floating all over the place. You know, they were in our forums. They were in a bunch of forums. That's the PLA, the Phone Losers forums. I'm sure they were on it. So, let's see. And someone posted her AIM buddy list. The anonymous dude is full of crap and is just trying to make a name for someone. I agree. It's freaking funny as hell that she got owned, but someone taking full credit for something he had nothing to do with is moronic. The owning of Paris Hilton would have been much sweeter if people wouldn't have slapped it every damn place because all the numbers were changed and now it's all over. It should have been something kept low and could have drawn out over months. Oh, well, it was still great fun. Oh, yeah, it was. It was fun while it lasted. That was hilarious. That was hilarious because all the collateral damage of all her friends and the stuff that went along with that. Now, on to Google AdWords. You said that AdWords were shown on Google search results. You sounded unsure about if it was used on Gmail, too. It is. AdSense is using Google crawls to find relative topics on your site and using ads to match your content to the AdWords. For example, if you were to use AdWords, your ad will show up on Google search results, Gmail, and on websites using the AdWords program, such as mine. And I guess this is where I read his site, Giblee, giblee.info/blog. So I guess if I'm pimping the site, that brings out his webmaster address. I think Google AdSense is pretty cool, but I have found it to be friggin' stupid at times, showing ads related to nothing on my site. Yeah, I've seen that a lot myself. Plus, you have to make $100 before they pay you a damn cent. I have had mine since November, and I've only gotten $3 so far. This is something people with thousands of hits per day should look at. Interesting. I'm just trying to find a way to pay for my beer bills. That was the greatest Freudian slip ever.
There you go.
Just trying a way to pay for my bills, he said. I guess I got beer on the mind. But not that beer you bought in Atlanta. clearly AdSense isn't the way. One last thing on your ethical hacking cert. What did they teach you? Nothing. Was it the classic hacking is wrong crap or noob stuff like in web design classes and they make you use front page when they couldn't do anything without a WYSIWYG editor? I've been tempted to get one of those just to have the cert, to have some kind of way of saying I can do security assessments and have a piece of paper to back me up. It's sad that people who have no real knowledge of hacking can go around saying they're a real hacker when they don't know shit. It is sad to see things made to help people who have the knowledge, such as hacking tools, easy-to-use editors, certifications that have ended up screwing a lot of us over. Anyway, great job on your show. I'm trying to get a local radio station to play Ben Rev and other shows, and it looks like it will happen. Woot! Well, woot on that one also. Let's see. You know what? Instead of giving this now, I'm going to make an upcoming episode, talking about the certification. And I will give some sample questions. I cut and pasted some of the ones that I found confusing or interesting. I'll share a couple of them and talk about generally what it covers and format and things like that. So I'm going to save that for a later show, forgive me. But tonight we're running. We got to hurry up and get this done. By the way, I should mention that this is the latest we've ever done a show. If we waited any longer, we would have had to go live. So
still may.
Yeah, we still may. I don't know if this is going to get mixed in time. So unfortunately, this is a bad day. I should have saved this email for next week or something. So I will go into an in-depth analysis on that sometime soon. Okay, let's see. Next email from Sardonyx, who says, "Hey, Stank Dog, I just wanted to say hi and say you're doing a great job on the show. Been listening since about episode 65. Now I've registered on the forums and troll them daily." Okay, troll them as in he reads through them daily. He's not trolling as in stirring up, you know, trouble trolling. I hope that's what he means. Also, because of Hack TV episode 1, I'm now a bona fide war driver. Since I watched you go around and finding so many wireless networks, it made me extremely curious on how many networks I have around my own home. So I booted up my laptop with NetStumbler, and a buddy and I walked out my door and immediately picked up two wireless networks. Surprise. After about a half an hour of driving around my neighborhood, we had at least 12 unsecure networks. Since this experience, I've grown to running Nopix STD on my laptop, Kismet and other networking tools, getting an Orinoco Gold Wi-Fi card, and an antenna. Very nice. I've also been searching the net rigorously for other Wi-Fi tools, networking tools. I was wondering if you could give me some good examples of tools. Maybe speak a bit more on the show about networking, either exploits or just network exploring. I also plan on buying the magazine and also a few 2600 issues that cover war driving. I'd appreciate any information you gave me to support my new hobby. Thanks, Sardonyx. Well, that could also be a big topic. I don't know that we have time to go into a list of all kinds of tools and things. Magazine 2600. I know 2600 had an issue where the cover of it was an overhead view of New York with all the hot spots and the diameter of the circle for how far it reached and things like that. So that would be one to get. I think was it issue 2 of Binary Revolution magazine had ghetto driving article. So, but you know what? Those you already know some of that stuff right now. You've already got past that. So, I don't know that that's going to help you a whole lot. There's wardriving.com. Are there any other sites you might recommend to this guy?
Actually, I was going to mention this later, but right now Security Focus has their second in a two-part article. Left Dead Again, if you want to read that. I thought that was kind of cool. I read that today.
As far as
other sites for war driving, not really. I can suggest a couple apps. Obviously, Kismet. Aircrack is awesome. Ethereal, obviously, but
right.
Other than that.
Snort. I'm sorry, what was the article you said on Security Focus? I think you broke up when you said that.
Oh, sorry, it's called Wet Dead Again Part 2.
Okay.
Talks about a new idea into breaking or actually generating traffic for without actually having the key to break WEP. It's actually pretty cool. Kind of scary.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm with you now. Okay, unfortunately, we'll go into that again. And actually, we will go into that again when we talk about the CEH, because it has a big emphasis and focus on tools. So actually, that will be a good episode for you as well. I got to make sure we get that done in the next couple weeks. Okay, the next email this week comes from Coding Monkey. Not Code Monkey. We already have a Code Monkey in the forum. So this is Coding Monkey, who's from the UK. He says, "Hi, Mr. Dog. I just wanted to say I find your site very interesting, and you've provided me with an almost endless supply of MP3s to keep my brain occupied during a dull day at work. I appreciate it. I've been a programmer for many years, but it's only in the last few years or so that I finally got into the hacking scene, as I found more and more books on the subject, which started to help me think outside the box. Anyway, I thought I'd send you one of my articles in my blog about how our local council is making identity theft easier." Now, this is kind of long. I'm not going to read this URL, and I didn't have time to tiny URL it, but this affects the UK. Anyway, he goes on to say, "Keep it up. Ignore the trolls. P.S. I would love it if you pimp my link." Now, wait a minute now. What's in this for me? Everybody wants me to pimp their link, like I'm the advertising epicenter of the hack. What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? I'm giving out free advertising here. What's up with this?
You get the Nike Swarm Fuzzies.
Ah, what the hell. I always do this. Anybody that's cool enough to email me or producing things, I don't mind. I'm just messing with you, Coding Monkey. Of course, this URL you hear. See, now this, I'm just joking with this guy, but just to be serious for a moment, this is when you don't use elite speak. I don't like elite when it's used in a URL. Too hard to read.
Yeah, kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's too hard to read, but I'm going to do it for you, Coding Monkey. And his link is C0DINGM0NK3Y, Coding Monkey with 003.blogspot.com. So, there you go. Go check that out. Let's see. Where was I here in my notes? I lost my spot. Okay, we have another email. This is a pretty long one from C. Belly, who says, "Hi guys, last episode of the radio show, Stank Dog was talking about how you couldn't find GeoCities pages other than the main GeoCities page by using Google. He basically was saying that it seems Yahoo may be trying to screen off some of the internet. This piqued my curiosity, so I did a little digging. Short story, the internet's not being broken yet. Long story follows." And this, now see, first of all, this is a good email. This is a really good email. I mentioned that on the air, kind of on the spot, because I had just discovered it before we went to record. And I mentioned it, and someone else goes out and does the research and comes back in an answer, because I haven't had time to research it too much yet. So I didn't present it at fact. I said, it looks bad. What could it be? This gentleman did the research for me. Using the search, and you know what? A couple other people mentioned this too. They put the in-URL tag on some of their searches, or the site. Put site geocities.com or in-URL geocities.com. I had a couple people recommend that and say that they ended up getting tons of hits. You did get all those hits. I was just putting in the word GeoCities. Anyway, this person tried to look up the robots.txt for GeoCities. He found a link with a meta tag that says meta name Googlebot content no snippet, meta name robots, blah blah blah, which is a snippet of the URL geocities.com/davidwinson/robots.txt. I'll put that up in the show notes. I'm not going to tie the URL that definite either. The complete robots.txt is this. And he's saying robots.txt. It's not actually a robots.txt file. I could not find also a robots.txt file on GeoCities. And that's probably because they are embedding it in the pages. So what he sent me are the meta tags, which accomplishes the same thing. So the meta tag says name Googlebot, which is the name of the agent. Content is no snippet. And the other meta tag is robots, content no archive. So, anyway, back to the email. It says, "All right, not very interesting in itself, but if you click on the similar results option, you'll see that a lot of the base domains of large sites seem to have the same robots.txt file, or, again, tag formation. Some of them include Yahoo, GeoCities, Link Exchange, AngelFire, Fortune City, and if you look far enough, Google.com and EFF.org. Now, the first tag, this is a really good email. Now, the first tag, metaname Googlebot content no snippet, is supposed to cause Google to not show the text snippet, which normally appears under the link of the search result, and it is also supposed to kill Google's cache for the page. It appears my search got around that in this case, or perhaps Google keeps the robots.txt cached, so they know they're not supposed to show the rest of the site for some reason. The second tag, metaname robots content no archive, stops all spiders from archiving the page, not just Google. This makes me think that what you found is standard operating procedure and not anything malicious. It probably saves on bandwidth and processors." So to double check, I tried searching for www.yahoo.com, www.google.com, and they all came up with one listing just like the GeoCities search. Well, how does Yahoo have search results for geocities.com, then you might wonder. My bet is they aren't spidering it. It's their server, so it would be easier to keep track of and link to, I would think. I'm going to stop here just because he's definitely on the right track here. He's pretty much got it, I believe. Everything sounds absolutely correct so far. But I still see this as a potential problem, a potential issue. Let's say that their tags do have the robots exclusion in there that prevent Google or any other search engine from hitting it. If that's the case, all of those other engines aren't hitting it yet because Yahoo owns it. They are getting it included in their database. And that was the problem I mentioned. If that happens, you might be fragmenting the internet. So that danger kind of still exists a little bit. However, I had some other people email me saying that they were able to find a bunch of the hits. So it's kind of tricky what's going on here, but I'm not quite sure I like the smell of it. But anyway, just wanted to mention that here. Now, let me go back to his email, which says, "Now, I'm not absolutely positive, as I couldn't view the robots.txt files on those large websites. I'm not sure how to. Perhaps someone would be kind enough to check it out or explain how to." And actually, let me stop there as well, because what I suspect happens on these sites, and the listeners, you can go check it out. You can go to geocities.com/robots.txt, which is where the official robots.txt is supposed to be. That's where the spiders look for it. That's the standard. And you'll get a file not found. I don't think that these sites are putting out a robots.txt file. What they're doing is using those meta tags, which accomplishes the same thing. You can do everything in one of two different ways, with the meta tags or with the robots.txt file. And I mentioned that in my Robots and Spiders article in 2600 a while back. The meta tags, I'm just guessing, thinking out loud here, if somebody, we had a listener who's at Yahoo, maybe he can confirm this if he's hearing this. What I'm suspecting is over at GeoCities and some of these other sites is they're parsing, they're generating these pages server-side, and they're probably inserting the same meta tags for robots to everybody's page in addition to whatever pages you've uploaded. Since they have full control and you're on their terms of service, probably the same way that they add in the advertising. You know, on GeoCities, you get that Java bar thing, advertising crap on the right-hand side. I'm sure the users aren't putting that on there. I'm sure that GeoCities is parsing through and inserting that to everybody's page. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? I'm suspecting just as easily as they could put that JavaScript tag in there, assuming it's JavaScript, I don't know if it is, but whatever it is, they could just as easily put those on the server side, insert the meta tags that they want for everybody's pages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not cool, and that's one of the drawbacks to using one of those sites, but one of the good things is that they're free, so, you know, you have to deal with stuff like that, I guess. So that's why you don't actually see the robots.txt file. So that makes sense there. Let's see. Also, if you want to search GeoCities or any of those larger sites using Google, use the search term site and then the name of the site. For example, geocities.com and whatever other search terms you want to use. For the other sites, substitute their domain name in place of the GeoCities domain name, of course. Keep up the good work. I look forward to hearing the show each week. Oh, yeah, could you possibly add an episode number to your ID3 tags? Perhaps something as simple as E83 so it's easier to tell if I've listened to a show or if I've got a new show to listen to. Thanks. Actually, we do. That isn't. The ID3 tag does contain an episode. The episode number, unless you want it in the actual title, and usually I don't have enough space for that. I usually am very tight on how much space I have to put in a description. The podcast feed, however, includes the episode number. So you can always look on the podcast and find out which episode it is. And the ID3 tag does have the episode number as well. It's just not in the title line. If that's what you're asking for, then, yeah, that's going to be pretty tough. And I have redundant data all over the place. So look again. Maybe you just had a corrupt file or something like that. But thank you for the email. That was a good email. You did some homework. You gave us some answers. We worked together and came out. We still don't know exactly how bad this is. You shouldn't have to put the site or the in URL. You know, I was searching for GeoCities space and then a term of some kind, and I wasn't getting much luck, so that's why I noticed it in the first place. All right, so anyway, let's hit one more email and then jump into our show and tell slash main topic, actually. Last email is from Underground Leopard, who says, "Yo, Stankizzle Dog. I was wondering what are the best languages to learn to start off with hacking. I'm not learning to hack." You know what? That is the best answer to... That is the great answer. You're absolutely right. And anybody who's in the forums, I hope they heard the answer to that question. The best language to learn to start off hacking, English. Not elite. I'm not learning to hack, really, to get back at people or to learn. Now Jenny's phone number is 867-5309. Oops, sorry about that. But for knowledge and just as a hobby, and, well, to mess with my friends. Also, I was wondering how old you and your colleague are, just to kind of make sure I am not way behind, being nearly 20 years of age. Leet to you guys. That's from Underground Leopard. Now, I think you'll probably agree with me on this, that age doesn't mean anything.
Nope.
Absolutely does not. I mean, you probably
should.
Looks like
it's Hank, he's 107.
I'm 107 going on 14. The age doesn't really mean... You should respect people that have been in the scene for a long time. Don't get me wrong. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're inherently any better or more knowledgeable or anything like that. For the record, I'm 33. But that doesn't really mean anything. There are people that'll blow me out of the water. You know, there are kids out there, and when I say kids, I'm 33, I can call people kids, I can get away with that. There are some young guys out there, some young men, who are just coming out of high school, or even still in high school, that are brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, and I would never take that away, and just because they're younger, I absolutely give credit and props to people like that. Absolutely. Age doesn't mean anything. But just for the curiosity factor, I'm 33... So even at 1920, it doesn't matter. I think most people in the scene are between those two ages. I'm on the upper end of that age range.
I'm 23.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to drop docs, so I'll let you.
And my social security number is.
There you go. All right. So yeah, age doesn't really mean anything, honestly. It's about knowledge and learning it and having the right state of mind and all that kind of stuff. So I've met people, like I said, that are so much younger than me that know a lot more about different topics. I mean, nobody knows everything. There's always somebody out there better than you at something. So always be humble and be respectful of that. There are absolutely people out there that'll blow me away. Like Voodoo Hal here. And we'll use this as a segue, as a matter of fact, to our, let's see, how are we on time? We're going to make, this is going to be a speed summary of Interzone 4. And go on to our show and tell, and actually the show and tell is the main topic, and that is Interzone 4 conference that Voodoo Hal and I both attended this weekend. I guess before we talk about the conference itself, I have some actual physical show and tell. I have in my hands, hitting the microphone with these, I have in my hands here the stickers that they placed on my luggage. Now, I noticed it on the way up there that when I got off and picked up my luggage in Atlanta, I noticed a shiny little sticker on my tag. Now, they put a little thing on your luggage with the barcode so they can track it and all that kind of stuff to get it to the destination. Well, I noticed these shiny little stickers that said cleared on it when we got to Atlanta. So I thought it unusual, and I thought maybe they searched. I did not get searched on the plane this time. I didn't have the S's. I didn't get searched. Woo! Apparently somebody's getting searched right now, it sounds like. however, I did get off and find these stickers on my luggage, which I thought to be kind of curious. Well, I didn't really have anything to worry about, so fine if that's what they're doing these days. I didn't really care too much. I tore them off and went about my business. But when I flew home, it happened again. And I even mentioned this when you remember this, and when we got off the plane and we were waiting for my luggage, which Voodoo Hal was kind enough to pick me up at the airport. When we were waiting for my luggage, I noticed them, but we didn't check or didn't have time to check to see if everybody had them or if it was just me being singled out. Was it a random search? Did they single me out? Was everybody getting it? Well, on the way home, I did check, and I did notice that everybody had this. It wasn't that anybody got singled out. This was placed on everybody's luggage. So I kind of put my mind at ease insofar as that they didn't single me out. However, they're searching everyone's luggage, or are they? So I watched the process thoroughly on the way back, and I watched the gentleman load my luggage into the big I don't know, x-ray machine or whatever that they put it on. You hand it off to him, and they forward it on up there. He asks you if you have any firearms in the luggage and that kind of stuff. So I didn't have any in there, and everything was fine, and I purposely watched it, and this person did not put any stickers on my luggage. So it happened somewhere behind the scenes. And again, it happened to everybody. And this is a little sticker that says cleared on it. It's a holographic sticker. If you look it into the light, it says original, genuine in the background. And it's got a logo that says U.S. Department of Homeland Security. And around that seal, it says Transportation Security Administration. And beneath that, and these particular stickers, it says ATL, which was, of course, me flying out of Atlanta. And then it has a sequence of numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 numbers. Obviously, these are back-to-back numbers, so they were incremented one by one. Obviously, since it's a unique number, it was somehow tied to my luggage. And the fact that it says ATL tells me that it was put on in the Atlanta airport, somewhere behind the scenes at their end of the process, not at the return airport. So, why am I telling you this? I don't know. I found it interesting, and I'm just sharing it. That's all. That's the only thing, and information is a good thing. Why did they want to do this? What were they looking for? Did they really look in it, or is just some guy back there trying to peel stickers off and put them on as fast as they can so they can get me in the air? Did anybody actually look at anything? So, I don't know how in-depth that goes. So, if anybody has been down that rabbit hole and can shed some more light, please do. One other interesting story while I was coming back, and again, I flew AirTran, a.k.a. Ghetto Airlines. While I was waiting, the plane at my terminal, before my flight, was going to Miami. And I sat and watched everybody go through line. I'm sitting there sniffing at the airport, doing a little hacksawing. And I watched all these people get on the plane. And then I watched this four people, a family of four, get back off the plane. They almost got on a plane to Miami. They were supposed to be traveling to Orlando. I was, you know, doing a little shoulder surfing, listening in. But the interesting thing here is that it tells me how closely they are not looking at your tickets. With all this heightened security, they're supposed to be checking all these things closely. Yet somehow they let four people get on the wrong plane. They just tore the tag and sent them on through. Somebody was not paying very close attention. So all of the security junk that they're doing, and like we've said so many times and hackers preach about and Mitnick has said in all of his speeches, the human element is the weakest part of the whole security link.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that a little bit not surprising, I guess, because, well, I'm used to incompetence, but I found it a little bit disturbing and interesting. So that's my kind of show and tell, although, like I said, Interzone 4, Voodoo Hal and I both spent the weekend at, so unless you had some other interesting stuff besides that.
No, I guess right. I can let you get started on Interzone.
Yeah, let's, we're going to have to do this pretty quickly, and maybe we'll finish this up another time, but there's really not a whole lot to say detail-wise. It's another conference, it's another small conference. It's at interzone.com if you want to find information. And I've already mentioned this stuff on the show before. Interzone with a zero. And it takes place in Atlanta. And they do it, I think it's a little more often than once a year. I think it's like every 9 or 10 months or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong there. But it's one of the smaller conferences. And not to say that it's small, but there's basically DEF CON, there's HOPE, and then there's everything else. So all the rest of them, you know, they have a good and bad about them. They're all good, and they're interesting that you get to hang out with people and stuff like that. Interzone, I have to say, I was pretty impressed with. First of all, they took care of me personally. Rocket, I was very happy that he gave me everything that I needed, helped me get up there, offered all kinds of things to help make me comfortable, to give me what I needed up there so I would enjoy myself. So from a personal standpoint, it was great. Secondly, I was impressed with the organization of it. Now, it's run by hackers, so there's still some issues here and there that had to be ironed out, and there was some stuff that wasn't ironed out until the very, very last minute. But when I say organization, I like the fact that they did have two clearly delineated speaking tracks. You knew, for the most part, what was going on in each one. The schedule needed a lot of work. The schedule was pretty half-assed, for whatever reason. But you knew where everybody was, so I guess it accomplished the most important thing. Listed the speakers and the times and all that kind of stuff. So, and they had signage pointing to where you're supposed to go. All the rooms were close together. The vendor area was very convenient, and I liked that a lot. You didn't have to go to some separate part of the hotel or some separate part of the event to find the vendors and stuff like that. There weren't many vendors, which I actually like vendors at a conference. I think that's part of the conference to me, is to look at the T-shirts and look at the stuff that people have and you know, finding out information about different websites and different projects that people are advertising at the vendor area. So I like the vendor area, a good vendor area as part of it. And that's one of the things actually that was lacking at Freaknik. They basically just set up a bunch of tables way away from where most of the traffic was, and we're like, yeah, you can have one if you want it, but nobody was going back there.
Was it downstairs again?
Yeah, and it was okay. behind the registration thing where they also had gaming set up back there.
Yeah,
so
it's the same as it was a couple years back, actually.
Yeah, so, you know, it was, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's cool and all. It's just wasn't really what I was hoping for. I liked Interzone layout and design, the organization of the layout and all that kind of stuff, much better. Just my personal opinion. Also, as far as presentations go, there were more people attending them. And I was kind of disappointed at Freaknik, only insofar as that I felt bad. There was a couple presentations where there were literally 3-4 people in the audience. And I saw that happen in Interzone 2 once. But for the most part, there were always, you know, 15-plus people. I mean, I think there was about 10 to 15 at mine. You know, which, you know, that's fine, that's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be hundreds of people listening.
And yours by far was the most boring, I mean, the greatest.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and actually, you know what, since we'll use that segue, because quite frankly, I am a little disappointed in my presentation, because
I liked it.
Nah, you're blowing smoke up my ass. It wasn't very, I think the content and everything was fine. I think I just spoke way too fast. It was an hour presentation, and I ended up being done in 30 minutes. So I don't feel like I took advantage of my time, and I always hate that. That's one of my pet peeves. I always want to take advantage of time that I have. So it was too short. That's my biggest beef. I think the content was fine, because I knew going into it and had been telling everybody it was very lighthearted. It wasn't a big breakthrough exploit or anything like that. It was more like a fun hack that anybody can do. And it was announcing a new site of ours, which I guess now that I think about it, we can announce on the show. I already put it up on stankdog.com, but to announce it to our listening audience, it is a disposable email site called willhackforfood.biz, and that's all one word, willhackforfood, F-O-R, .biz. Now, it's .biz because at the time we registered, it was $5 a year, so we just went and cheaped out. And we didn't really fully intend on using that site for anything other than a sandbox to play around in and install stuff and hack at and stuff like that that was our property. So when we came up with the idea for this, we thought it was kind of a funny URL to have your name at willhackforfood.biz. We just thought it kind of funny. So, and if you'll see the presentation, which I will upload as well, you'll understand that it's kind of secondary, the site name, because the ultimate goal of this, the next version of this, which will be open source to get, as well, is that anybody will be able to put this up on any site, so the URL becomes somewhat irrelevant. But yes, personally, I wasn't happy with it. I had notes typed up, and I forgot to print them before I left. And the listeners know I'm a notes guy. My show novels are famous. I always like typing things up ahead of time because I forget things. So even though I presented this at my local 2600 meeting, it was a 45-minute presentation there, and I added some slides to it since then. It should have been longer. I didn't have my notes in front of me, so I missed a few jokes here and there that I wanted to insert. I missed a few detailed technical parts of it. And I knew the slides. I knew the presentation. I covered all the content. I just missed a few extra details I could have gone into, and I regret that a little bit. But I still think it was, you know, decent enough, and hopefully some people will have some fun with it. Let's see. And I think you and I were probably in the same boat on this, insofar as we weren't really able to attend a whole lot of other presentations. I think you attended more than I did, because I was sitting out at the vendor booth at our table. I took in maybe 4 or 5, which is a decent amount, I guess. But I missed a couple people. I missed Dr. Chaos's talk. I wanted to see that. I missed Simple Nomad's keynote. I caught the end of that. He was presenting before me, actually. I followed him. So I caught the end of that. And actually, I kind of almost missed my talk because of something else that you and I did. And I think we'll talk about that in a second as well. But were there any presentations that you wanted to single out as being good or that you wanted to mention on the air?
The lockpicking presentation was pretty awesome.
Yeah, you went to that. How was that? I never did talk to you about that. Was it pretty good?
It was great. I have no experience in lockpicking at all, and it was pretty clear. I enjoyed it. The other was, I forget who did this talk, but it was on vulnerability management in the enterprise. It was cool. Let's see, I went to a talk to one of the workshops on Wireless 101, where I accidentally changed the config on their example Linksys router before I realized that's what it was there for.
Inadvertently.
Let's see, what else did I make it to? What was his name? Angus's talk.
Oh, that's someone. That's another one.
I don't remember honestly.
I didn't get to see Angus Blit. I didn't get to see his presentation either, and I wanted to see that. But he is involved with the Packet Wars. That I guess maybe we should go ahead. Actually, I a couple other presentations I wanted to mention. I went to see Virgil's presentation, which was about data mining using Google. And that was an interesting thing, and something that actually can spawn a bunch of projects. And I stayed and spoke to him afterwards for a while, and I've met him at Hope and Freaknik and stuff before, so I finally got to spend some time talking to him, which was cool, and talk to him about turning this into some actual projects, because it's the kind of thing that a lot of people can do, and it's something you can learn how to do fairly quickly, and as you get into it, learn more and more and get more detailed, and you can find a lot of interesting stuff using it. So I already spoke to him, and we're going to try to get together and put some projects out there for people to work on using Google and doing some data mining. I also, of course, went to see, well, actually, Acidus went on to present afterwards, and of course, he always gives good presentations. Acidus is such a good guy. He went on and gave a great presentation on running an open source project, running a successful open source project, which he has some experience with. So those guys, they're always consistently good speakers and giving out good material. So the other highlight of the show, and we will probably go into more depth on this, I would like to get the guys from HackSec on the show maybe to talk some more detail about this, but while we were sitting out at the table, someone, and maybe I don't remember his handle unless you do, I don't remember his handle, honestly.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, he came out there, and you and I were just sitting there chatting, and he came out and was recruiting us to go back to Packet Wars. Now, Packet Wars is a war games thing like the ghetto hackers used to put on at DEF CON, which they're not doing anymore. So these guys are trying to put another one together, somewhat similar but somewhat different as well, addressing some of the things that were people didn't like about the old ones. And anyway, this was the first time they debuted it at InterZone, first time they put it together. There were a few hiccups here and there, but we were sitting out there, and this guy that we had met, and unfortunately I can't remember his name now, and I feel bad about that, but came out and recruited us. Well, I immediately said, you know what, I'm a noob, I can't really help you with this, but I pushed Voodoo Hal in front of the bus. I said, take him. You know, this guy's going to, he knows what he's doing. You don't want me, I'm just going to be in the way. So you went back there and signed up, and you guys were back there getting ready to get started, and I guess you couldn't recruit anybody else. So at this point,
yeah, we get a couple people, and then you decided to join us.
Well,
and we got asked for this as well.
Yeah, so you can have up to 5 people on the team, and you had 3 at this point, and you came back out and asked. At this point, Acidus and I were sitting there chatting. He had just gotten there to the hotel, and you guys came out, said you had room for 2 more, and Assus and I both looked at each other and were like, well, why not? You know, we didn't really... I can say, anyway, I didn't feel like I'd be able to add much, and I was pretty accurate about that, but we figured, what the heck? You know what? I've never done one of those before. I've never really been into it. I didn't think it would be all that fun. I went back there, signed up, joined on the team, and yeah, I was pretty much in the way. But you know what? I have to admit, I had a really... That was really the highlight of the weekend. I mean, as far as events go. I had a blast. I thought it was really fun, and... I don't really know what else to say about it without going into a lot of detail, which we don't have time for. All I can say is Voodoo Hal's the man. That's all I can say. They basically give you a challenge, and I like, for example, the first challenge we set down was A, to root the box. You don't know what the box is, what OS it's running, and things like that. They'll give you the IP and tell you this is where the box is at. Challenge number one was to root the box. Challenge number two was to put a text file somewhere.
Yep.
And challenge number three was to install
a service.
Yeah,
run it of some sort of
exactly.
Your choice.
So, those were the three things, and we all start at the same time. There's a hub at each table and a team at each table. It's like four teams, I believe. And they turn the hub on for everybody, so you all start at the same time, theoretically. And as soon as you go... You start working, you start setting up, trying to hit that box. All I know is I'm over there, I don't know what's going on, I'm waiting for a foul ball or the hot dog vendor to come by, I'm lost. All I know is about 45 seconds into the thing, I hear Voodoo Hal go, I'm in. Own the freaking box in like a minute, or a couple minutes. Once the box was rooted, throwing a text file on there, there's nothing to that. That was the easy part. And then we kind of stumbled a little bit because I guess we misinterpreted the third challenge, if you will, or the third step.
Right, we spent about 30 minutes trying to get a Windows service installed, yeah. And not thinking that a service could also just mean a listening daemon of any sort. So that's when we broke down, tossed Netcat on the box, and got it listening.
Yeah, it was useless. It didn't really do anything, but it was
right
there. you could telnet to it. Didn't really do much for you, but it was running. So that did qualify, and so we completed all three tasks. Now, if we would have done that one a little bit quicker, would have been all good. So we completed those three in about, what, like you said, about a half an hour?
Yeah.
And it was a 45-minute challenge. So after we'd completed them, another team also completed theirs about the same time. A team full of ringers, I might add. A team full of professionals who do this for a living and get paid for it. After we'd completed all three of them, they did about the same time as well, so it's cool that we were able to hang with them, and when I say we, I mean you. They gave us a little bonus challenge, and this one kind of stumped us. We did not get this done by the time limit, and that was to change the wallpaper that they had applied on that box. It was a Windows 2000 box. And none of us knew how to change the wallpaper from the Windows command line. So,
we would have had it, though, but unfortunately the VNC DLL injection with Metasploit wasn't working.
Yeah, and what I was doing on my box, I think I could have gotten it working, but I think I had logged in with the wrong account or something. I think I used a different account, because what I was doing was, once we had access to the box, I connected to the box and was trying to do a remote reg edit. And I had it up and working. I was going through the registry, and it was just a matter of searching and finding the right registry key, because I also don't know where it is offhand. However, I must have logged in with a non-admin account. I don't know what I logged in with, but it was giving me errors when I tried to... It was giving me authority errors when I tried to look at them. So I probably should have had that and screwed that up. So we did not get that finished, and... The short version is the other team did, the team of ringers, so they ended up actually winning. But I was proud of how we did and how you did. I told you were going to own it, and you did. You were awesome at that. And I got to say, it motivated me to really start getting into this more. I didn't think I would like these things. I never thought I'd have any interest, and I had a blast. And I think I'm going to brush up on some of my skills and get into this a little bit more myself. I don't know if I'll follow them around and do these regularly, because they want to get real gung-ho and put accounts on the box and track people's scores and teams and rivalries and things. I don't know that I'm going to get that far in it, but just the knowledge base, I should get much better at using a lot of these and more familiar with exploiting and rooting a box. But I thought it was, I had a blast, and you did too, right?
Definitely. That was great. I do plan on doing those again. Oh, and by the way, a quick search through the registry found the wallpaper.
Yeah, see, if I would have...
I did it sitting here.
Damn it, if I would have had... And I did, I was able to connect to the remote registry. That wasn't a problem at all. I think I used the wrong damn account, and I should have had that. I blew that for us. I'll take credit for that. Whatever.
Nah.
Yeah. And let's see, there was some partying going on, like at every con. I've been joking with everybody saying I'm a smoker now because I get so much secondhand smoke from hanging out at these parties. It's a good thing you can't secondhand drink or I'd be a drunk also. I'm just too old for the whole partying thing. But,
I'm too old.
Yeah, right, exactly. I hung out for a little while. I stayed till like 1 a.m. one night and actually, I left at 1 the next night, but went and hung out with some other people and didn't get to bed till like 3:30. So I was up and out and about. But the best thing about the conferences to me, all of them, and this one particularly, is the people. I got to hang out and talk to some of the most brilliant people I've ever met in my life. Some of the most eclectic people I've ever met in my life, too. But
definitely.
Some of the most brilliant people. And people, first of all, it's... seeing people that you already know and get along with, it's great sitting down and catching up with Acidus and what he's been doing on. And technically, it was the first time you and I met in real life.
Yep.
So, after we made sweet, sweet love down by the fire, we were able to hang out.
Many, many times.
Many, many times. Oh, there was no fireplace. We were on, the fifth floor. There was no fireplace up there. Damn it. But meeting a bunch of these guys that I had known before and catching up with them, and then meeting some new people who I'd spoke, like I mentioned, Dr. Chaos, spoken with him via email a couple times. He was really nice, and meeting him in person is really cool. And actually, some listeners of the show that we met there, lots of cool people, and just hanging out and talking and learning and listening. That's the best thing about the conference, bar none. All of the other stuff is standard fare, some talks are better than others, but meeting and hanging out with people that are similarly minded, because, come on, I'm sure you can back me up on this, it's hard to find people that you can relate to.
Oh, definitely.
Locally sometimes. Even at the 2600 meeting sometimes, you might not exactly be on the same levels or the same thought process, I should say, and what interests you, so... that was the best part of the whole thing. And I don't know what was up with that whole outer zone deal. I don't get that at all, but frankly, I thought that was pretty lame. I thought that was pretty rude. I'm not going to get involved. You know what? Apparently, some people have beef with Interzone and the way it's run or the person that runs it. So they decided to create something called Outer Zone. And, basically go into a hotel room at the Interzone Hotel, which I guess there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's open hotel, you can get a room, and try to, I guess not, it wasn't so much compete with it or make another conference. I think it was more of a protest thing. And Voodoo Hal has dropped off the line. I think it was kind of a protest thing where they just wanted to come in and say, hey, we don't like the way you're running things, but we're going to show up because we want to hang out with our friends and stuff like that. So that's all fine. That is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. The problem is that in the elevators, people were putting up signs insulting people and bashing people and putting down the people that are putting on Interzone. And I just find that rude when you're attending it and you're there hanging out. These organizers put this conference together so that we could hang out together, like-minded people, and talk. And you are taking advantage of it, however you're going to put them down for it. I just found that very hypocritical, and I didn't really get involved in that whatsoever. And I know some people and have some friends that were hanging out at the Interzone stuff and rooms, but I just really didn't want to get involved. I have nothing to say bad about Interzone, nothing bad to say about Rocket. He took care of me, he was nice to me, he did everything that I asked, and then some, so I was glad to return the favor. I helped him out as much as I could, speaking, obviously, giving out some free swag, volunteering as much as I could help out, and pimping it, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're cool, and I'm looking forward to doing it again next time. So, if the phone's going to ring here, it's probably Voodoo Hal, but if it's not, it's time to close up anyway, and I'm going to go into our closing points, and lots of shouts. I've already given some of them out. Actually, let me do something. I'm going to steal a page from the old Infonomicon and do a site of the week. I don't know if I'll do this regularly, but this is a site I've been meaning to mention on the show for a long time. It's welcometothescene.com, and The Scene is this online show about the wares and piracy, movie piracy scene, if you will. It's a great show, well done, well put together, written and scripted ahead of time. It's new media. New media on a new medium. People taking advantage of the internet and releasing shows on the internet. I think that's fantastic. You go out a series that you're releasing online, high quality video, interesting, unique topic that's not been done before in video. I think it's great. I've been meaning to mention it on the air several times, so better late than ever, but big kudos to these guys. They're doing great, great stuff, and this is what I would love to see. I wish people did this more often, make a series. The hacking shows, the Packet Sniffers, Hack TV, all these shows, they're all so great. I like those as well, but this is more like a scripted show. This is a drama, whereas the other stuff is like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, reality, content-based reality TV, hacking TV, which I like that as well. But this impresses me. I have nothing but respect to these guys. Again, it's Welcome to the Scene, all one word, welcometothescene.com. I fully support and endorse projects like this, and if anybody involved with this is listening to the show, if you have some relationship to this and there's something that I can do, contact me if you need anything at all. I would love to be involved, help out, even if it's just pimping it once in a while on the show, releasing, announcing new episodes. By all means, I would be glad to do that. I think it's awesome. As far as the shouts, and I guess Voodoo Hal's phone died, I'm suspecting, I'm going to go ahead and give out shouts, and I'm sure he seconds me on all this. We met and co-introduced each other to people that we knew. So my shouts this week, let me go here. Shouts to Ken and to Rocket Jin, two guys that I met, hang out with, talked for quite a while with about some projects and just generally really good guys. To Acidus, Decius, Rattle, Dr. Chaos, all these guys for great conversation. Just sitting around talking to these guys intelligently and actually getting something out of it and feeling like you're talking to someone on the same level that gets you on intelligent topics, it's not something that you can get everywhere. It really is not. And I love always meeting up with those guys. Shouts to the Atlanta crew, DC404, the SE2600. Those guys in Atlanta are awesome, all of them. And Virgil included, Virgil from up there, again, for giving us a great idea I mentioned earlier that I'm going to try to get people involved with soon. Spoke with him about it. He gave us his blessing. He might try to help out as much as his time will allow. So cool that he's willing to do that. So shouts to Virgil. And most of all to Rocket for putting on Interzone. I had a blast. Rocket, thank you very much for having me, and hope to do it again next time. And Interzone West, maybe. We'll see how all that works out. So that's it for this week. If you have email or feedback, send it to radio@benrev.com. Actually, I hope you do for some of the questions we mentioned earlier. Tonight's music is Hijack the Disco. It's a track called Groove Jet. So that is going to do it for this week. So on behalf of Voodoo Hal, I have to tell everybody that we will see him next week. Same hack time, same hack channel.